after Sukkah, after the week hiatus in the Mechitzas and the Beis Knesset, we're going to go back to the Sukkah. We're going to finish up the Mechitza Medes Baruch Metzuya. And then next week Sunday we'll have probably Sukkah also. And then during the week, we'll do a Yoni Purim. Yoni Purim, Bez Hashem. And then after Purim, Bez Hashem, we'll have Chazara. We'll do 2 weeks of Chazara. So then we'll do some more Sukkah, some Pesach. Okay. So basically, we've discussed that there's a fundamental machlokas whether whether a sukkah, ruach metzuya, has to be that it doesn't wave at all, or that it can wave as long as it never loses the shear of mechitza. Does it wave that it's going, you know, 3 tefachim above the ground, etc. So there's a lot to say still. We did a lot. There's still more to say. So I would recommend, it's always good to start with Rebbeinu Peretz, right? Now where do we get Rebbeinu Peretz? Where's Rebbeinu Peretz? The Smach. So we go to the Smach, you see? Not everyone, even Big Lomdim, you would say to them, who are not Balei Halacha, you would say, where you see Rebbeinu Peretz, they wouldn't know what they're talking about. So you know that Rebbeinu Peretz is on the bottom of the Smach. There are other places, you know, Rebbeinu Tosfos Rebbeinu Peretz and other things like that, but in Halacha, as a Halachic Sefer, it's, I told you, my friend is writing a book on the Smach. He came to America to write a book on it. He took a little, I think, sabbatical from teaching, and he's working on a book on the Smach. So let's look on page 17. Start with page 17. So it says like this: the sukkah sheish the Lord made the funnest kilchasan. Come on, your tests. I even have the thing I'll give you, Jesse. Sukkah sheish lo based the funnest kilchasan. It has 2 defanos, kloma kimin gem, right? Like gem is like an L, right? Asa pas tefach umashehu umamidu pachas mishlosha somuch ledofim. Also la a Pesach Ligmar is a Dovah Shlishi. So, you know, the halacha of 2 mechitzas and Shlishis of Yod Tefach is a whole complicated thing about where you put the Tefach and do you make it Tzuras a Pesach, and it's a whole, we'll see if we're going to do that or not. I'm not sure if I'm going to do that. But that's the halacha. Shnayim kilchasun, u'shlishis afil tefach. So says the Rebbeinu Peretz in Yutes. Nogu ha'olam lasos mechitzas shleimus. He said, like, when was the last time you saw anyone make a sukkah shnayim kilchasun shlishis afil tefach? I don't think I've ever seen it in my life. Shnayim kilchasun shlishis afil tefach. But so the minig is to make 4 full walls. That's the minig olam. Minig olam, lasos kol harba mechitzas miriyus, and 4 walls. And what is it? Miriyus shosdinim beloshum arava. What do you mean? So that means you take what? 4 sheets. And on each side you put another sheet. Below Shum Arava. What, without any what? Any what?
Gap?
No, what does Below Shum Arava mean? Yes or no? So what's our rabba mean? No. Yeah, but is that what he's saying here? Connection. So he said four sheets before the Lom Shum Arava. Come on. Someone's going to say it. Think like very simple. Don't think too esoteric. You're thinking too esoteric. I said, think simple. Yeah! Arava. Meaning, so what does that mean? Meaning, another way of doing it is what? To take Aravas and then make the wool out of the Aravas. And apparently that would probably be stronger because that you would like weave them together and you'd make so you say you don't need that, you just need what? Sheets. Four sheets. And put each sheet in a different place. Not that you have to, I'm saying that maybe that's
I think some people are mafia not to do with Sabine, rather they should do with our others.
Right. So he's saying, "Mashanov elam matzus kol arba mechitzim yirishos dinim loshem ra ein nochon." Afal pi shekoshon betov, mishum dezimnin demnaki, v'lava datayu. V'avol le mechitzah shein omedes bruch to loshem mechitzah. What? The tie the sedinim. That's what's mashma at the end.
Yeah.
Right, Jake is saying that the Rava was used to tie down the Sadinim. But he's saying that people would do it without that. So he says, it's not right to use just Sadinim. Why? Yishum dezimdin dimenatki, because sometimes the sedinim will be get on. In other words, you're going to tie the sedinim down on to the ground or whatever. But sometimes it might unravel the lava datayu, and you're not going to be aware that it unraveled. Tavi on mechitza shein omeres ruach the loshma mechitza, and it'll be a mechitza that's not omeres beruach, which is not considered a mechitza. Barotza lasus misdinim below arava. But if you want to use sedinim without arava, tov sheyarag b'mechitzas kanim pachas migimel. So he says that if you want to use sedinim without arava, so take arava, take sticks, and make what? Love it strings, so to speak. Right? In other words, surround it with pieces of wood within less than three tefachim from each other, and that technically will be a mechitza. So even though your real mechitza that you wanted to be mechitza fails you because it got unraveled, you have a backup. You have a backup. But he's saying when you're using this dinim, you also are tying them. Aval pisha kosher betov. But you still didn't do it because Mishum the Zim did the Mnaki. And what about Arava? It's not Zimdin the Mnaki? How do you explain that? What? It's better. Why is it better?
And
you'd
be a rubber that doesn't break instead of whatever else.
So how would you, you're tying it down with a rubber?
Yeah, you're tying it down with a rubber. It's
just a visual. Well, so let's look at Shulchan Aruch how it's brought down. So this Rav Beda Peretz is quoted in the Mechaber on Tav Reish Lamed Sif Yud, page 18. It says, Ha'osa sukosu bein ha'ilonos fa'ilonos defanos lo. אם היו חזקים או שכושר וחיזק עושה מה שלא תהיה רוח מצויה תמיד מילי בין עשרים בתם וקש כושר המאז קשר אוקיי, אין לעשות כל המחיצס מראש על פשטון ולא קונם אבל בי שכושר בטוב זה מן נעקי ולא לדייתי אבל מחיצס שאינו יכול לעמוד רוח מצויה ורוצה לעשות דינים טוב שירג במחיצס קונם פחס משלושה And look at the next seven. Also mechitza mibalei chayim. You can make mechitzas from live animals. So yikshar sham behema ledofen. If you tie down a behema as a wall, then it's a wall. You use a behema. So is there any discrepancy between Sif Yud and Sif Yud Aleph? Ezra? So what's the discrepancy? So the question that the Taz raises is what? Hello? Two. Yeah. Okay. So why don't we say Dilma Menatki by the behemoth? Why aren't you choshesh that, I mean, the behemoth is probably not too comfortable staying in one spot. So why don't you say the same thing? We were afraid that maybe the behemoth, it'll unravel and the behemoth will walk away. Maybe that's a bigger chashash than the Sedinim. So the Sedinim are also tied down. But if you're Matt, you.
Me? I'm
Yoni. Yoni. Room.
The
but it could get unraveled. Zilma Menachki means it's going to get unraveled. So just if you kosher Zilma Menachki by the Sedinim, why do you kosher Zilma Menachki by the thing that's holding the animal? What's the chiluk? I mean, you know, you can't pull a Dvar Shmuel here on me. Dvar Shmuel from Yud to Yud Aleph, that little, right? Can't say it's just. Rav Shmuel says that the Shulchan Aruch was written by different people, but it's not a that Yud was written by one and Yud Aleph was written by another person.
We heard in an earlier packet that sheep,
well, in other words, whatever's holding the animal back, maybe will get unraveled, and the animal will walk away. Just like whenever, just like we said by the sheets, that the sheets will get the knot, whatever you made to tie down the sheets, will get unraveled, and then the wind will cause it to blow and ruin.
Yeah, but it's all by desire. The animal doesn't mind the wind; it can stand
Yeah, but I mean, it sure makes sense that the animal, once the animal's untied, the animal's not going to stay still. No live human is just going to stay still like that. So look at the Taz. Zim the Mat, Kain Kosef Hatur, Hashem Rebbeinu Peretz. Right, that's Rebbeinu Peretz. Kosholi, Mimash Kosef Besiv Yur Aleph, She Yukshur Shom Behem Ladofen, Veloch Hashina De Nimitaka. That the derech is that it becomes unraveled and it goes away. And yet it's still kosher besukah. We're not worried. So why are we more worried about sheets than we are about animals? A sheet should unravel and then it's going to fly in the wind. That's more a chashash than the animal that you tied, that it can unravel and walk away. Tzarech lomad the davka b'chol ha-mechitzes hichmir, ma-she'en ki ma-sias dofen b'heim, al-lomay mirat l'achshira. Bukamo shakotzim b'sif yud beis. So what is the Taz saying? What's the Taz answering the question? He says the difference. What's the Taz's distinction? What's the Taz's distinction? No. What's the Taz's distinction? What does it say? What does that mean? He says like this. This is what he's saying. By the walls, you're making the whole sukkah out of the sheets. All four walls. So where you're using all four for that, then the probability is much higher that something is going to go wrong. Because you're using all four. Lakshir means, but if you're only using, say, two of them are regular walls, and then the third one that's that's machshir it, that makes the sukkah kosher, because that's what you need, at least three walls. So that you made from a behema. So, but in a chanami, if you would make all four walls from the behema, then we'd have the same issue. That's how the Taz is. If you're able to go over it, the puzzle is sicker, but it's only one wall that is, you know, a potential problem. So if it's only one wall that's a potential problem, so the odds are much less that something's going to go wrong. Yeah. Is it why? No, I mean, right. Once it moves away, it's too late. But the question is, will you notice it before it moved away? Maybe. So that's what he answers. But look at in the pre-Megadim. Because he says, mostly mechitza, and the other one he says, beferish. He says, ein lachon lasos kol hamechitzas mirish or pishta. Why did he emphasize that? It's not right to make all of them, but say if you make two, and the third one would be two, you make from solid brick, and the third one would be from a sudden. So even though that one is likuv also, right, but I guess the odds of something going wrong to one is much less than the odds of something going wrong to the three or four. And the Taz Mishpat Zozah, and the Pre-Megadim rather, on page 20 says Zimna Nain Taz Mashma Behema based the fathers lo mahanik shira. That if you're going to use an animal to fatubach the fathers, that's no good. Ayin elia rabba. Because you have the behema kshe tivrach yira mashen kain kandemnati vlavadaite. So that's what you who said that. You just said that, right. That he says, because of the Al Rama, the behema, you'll notice it right away. Because as soon as it gets raveled, the behema's gone. Over here, you're not going to notice it because the wind is not necessarily going to come right away. So it might have been unraveled already a long time ago. Kosher bechazaka shapir. So what's the next answer he gives? That the derech to tie a animal is very strong. To me, it's a chashash. The derech to tie Selenium is not as strong. Okay, now let me raise two questions that have been raised in the past. Shakta mentioned one of these questions. Well, two questions that have been raised by other people in the past. And that is like this. Once you have this din in Shulchan Aruch thing, you shouldn't use Sedinim, because of the Zimlod of Anati, right? So how does that affect the ability of using canvas? Why don't you say also Shemim Anati? number one. Right, we'll check to discuss that. And another thing that Shekhar mentioned, others mentioned, is that why does Kokora Sadin is gonna go in the wind? Right? Even if you have it down poor, you can't make it. They're still going to blow in the wind. Even a coarse sheet is going to, once there's a wind, it's going to just, I mean, that's just reality. If I tie this down and it's when the wind comes, it's going to make a move in the valley, you know, the middle. So if that's really a problem, like Rav Avadya Yosef wants to claim it's a problem, so why is the Gemara, why is the Rabbeinu Peretz and then the Shulchan Aruch afterwards have to say that the reason why there's a problem is because it might unravel and then whatever, it'll be terrible. Even if it doesn't unravel, then we have a more severe problem that it's moving in the wind. So someone will say, so maybe you see from here that moving a little from the wind is not a problem. Just like Rav Stern in his Sefer says from the Tshuva Sarashba that if you put a sod in between the onain and the mace, so that's okay because it's tied down. So it's over here. So again, so one question is, but so let's deal with the second one first. You see from here Araya that blowing in the wind is okay because they use sadinim, and the only problem he has with the sadinim are not because they blow in the wind. The only problem Rabbeinu Peretz and the Shulchan Aruch have with sadinim is maybe they'll unravel and you won't realize it, and then once they unravel, then it can be very bad, because then it can really nothing's tying it down, then it can blow up like that, etc. But that's a chashash. Why don't we just passel this for a more basic reason? So is this taka good raya that if it blows, it's not a problem as long as it doesn't become a mechitza psula. Or else, why would the Rabbeinu Peretz and the Shulchan Aruch need to... The unraveling will happen by itself, and then the wind will come and blow it, and then it could be a problem. But even if it doesn't unravel, the wind can come to blow and blow it. So if you say like the Chazanish, there's no problem. Even if the wind comes to blow it, it's not a problem because it doesn't lose its shear of mechitza. But if you hold like Rav Avadya Yosef, then what's the whole idea of Shema Menachti? There's a more basic problem here. So even if it's not Menachti, but it's still blowing in the wind, then that would be a problem. What do you say? So let's deal with that question. Is this a raya to the Chazanish? Oh no. What would you say? No, what are you saying? Ezra.
Well, didn't the whole Pshat is that it's going to unravel and therefore it's going to blow in the wind. So the whole reason is that they're worried that it's because it's going to blow in the wind. So yeah, it's, no, I mean, it's not right because they're really worried about it blowing in the wind. So then if it does blow in the wind, even if it doesn't unravel, it'll be possible too.
No, but then why does the Shulchanah, the Rabbeinu Peretz have to say we're afraid it's going to unravel? Don't say you're afraid it's going to unravel. Just say because the wind is going to, you should never build, make a sukkah of sudden because that's not sturdy enough because it's going to blow in the wind. Even if it doesn't unravel, why do you have to say, we're afraid it's going to unravel? Even if it doesn't unravel, there should be a problem if you hold like Rabbi Avadi Yosef. So you tell me. What do you think will happen? If you put a...
I tie down long, maybe.
I don't know. If you make it taut... Yeah, if you tie it like every 2 inches to something... Then, well, but is that what it's talking about? I would doubt it. So I think maybe it is a good riot. Maybe it is a good riot. But the reason why they're passing it is only because of this reason and not the other reason. The Nachanami shows you that things are allowed to move in the Ruach. Within reason. Well, will Rav Avadi Yosef respond? Yeah. Hello? Who's this? Call back at 3? Call at 3. I'm giving shear. 3 o'clock. Yeah.
So, according to David Ferris, even if you tie it well, there's still the shot of it unraveling, unknowing, and therefore will lead to it.
Right. Now, what about if it doesn't unravel? Can it also blow in the wind? Won't it also blow in the wind? Unless you say that blowing in the wind is not a problem. And that would be a riot to the opinions that it's not a problem. A result of the problem that it's going to unravel and you're not going to know it and then it'll move in the wind, therefore don't use it. But say, why do you have to be so say much simpler? So I think it's a good riot. That you see from here that it could move in the wind. Unless you make some ukimta that it's so tightly. But that's hard to believe that they, in those days, they made things so. Well, yeah, it's hard to believe that when the Shulchan Aruch, when Rabbeinu Peretz was talking about Rabbeinu Peretz here about Osin to Sedinim. Then that would be a problem. Yeah. Yeah.
We're not worried that
Right. So he's saying, therefore, it's not good.
Yeah, we're not.
But
that day, you're not going to realize the slight difference in now that it's
unravel. Yeah, but that's not. But the Shulchan Aruch is not saying that. The Shulchan Aruch is maybe it's going to unravel the knot that you tied it to the bottom of the top. is going to unravel, and then it's going to... Once it's unraveled, now it'll move in a way that it'll make it possible. But it's mashmah that when it didn't unravel, then it's not possible. Right. That's what Shmuel Elazar Stern in the Sefer wrote, based on the Chuvah Sarashba. He says you can make a sudden between the mace and the oinid, even though it can move. Because that, if you take this, sure it's going to move, because a Ruach Mitzuya will make it move. If I put this, if I tie this down, and even if it's tied down from the top to the bottom, if a wind comes, it'll move. Right, but is that true that, I mean, that's not even a little bit is going to be a problem. But he says that that little bit will only be if it's not tied down, but we're questioning that Matthias. I think if you tie it down, it'll still move a little bit.
Exactly.
So then it should be a problem. So then why is Shulchan Aruch saying, why is Rabbeinu Peretz saying that what bothers me is double menachki? You don't even need that. Even if not menachki, you should have a more fundamental thing that it's going to move in the wind. But if you say like El Chazanish and others that if it moves in the wind, it's not a problem because it'll never lose the shear, and it's only a problem if it's not tied down, so then it could really, go, like this. It's not tied down, and then you're above the, more than level of above the ground. Yeah. Yes, chach is also right. We discussed it has to be, and we talked about whether you're allowed to tie down chach. So I'm willing to say that it's a right. The only thing is, what would Rav Avadia Yosef say back? Unless he'll say that in Hanami, you have to talk about that you tie it in such a way that it doesn't. It's really what? But what's that? Give not a lava daite. I mean, but the Lashon Menatki usually, I guess you could say that, but the Lashon Menatki usually means, when I take, means to sever ties. So if something is tied down to something, and then it gets unraveled, and now it's not touching the thing anymore. Yeah, okay, you could maybe you could say such a thing, but to me, it's probably more posthumous the other way. And let me ask you a question. Now, this is a question of Shachter discussed, and that is, so in the Hanami, okay, maybe Rav Avadia is right, whatever, right, wrong. But what about this idea that, so why does this chashash of Dilma Menatki, which means that even if it was not menachi, you should still shouldn't be using these mechitzas lachatchila, because maybe it'll come. So how does it, so would we say based on this that canvas sukkah, even though it might be technically kosher, but still is in a violation of this halacha of dilman and menachi, and you shouldn't use lachatchila, as Rav Shaka pointed out, or not? What would you say? What do we say? Every, like Rav Shechter put down, what do you say? Every canvas sukkah is in violation of this halacha that you shouldn't use sedidim. Okay, say more. Say more. Yeah, but the knot is the knot. You'll see that clearly does move. I have never seen a canvas sukkah in my life that doesn't move, even if it's tied down. Because you see that. Well, if you hold it's not allowed to move at all, then but it moves. I mean, he is our next door neighbor in Brooklyn. We always had a wood or fiberglass or whatever, but next to neighbor always had a canvas sukkah. And you can watch it, you see it, you know, very clear that it flaps. Once a move, you have a wind pocket. I'm sure you've seen it just as much as I've seen it. What? Wait, but they're still moving the wind. Should I say for Stuka Sholem on page 22 of Zev Braver, he discusses this. With the footnote Chavav. So the footnote here, Chavav, he writes, last two lines on the bottom. Od limud zchus yesh lom zveisha osim asdinim nikavim miyuchadim sheya yochol kosher hetev v'loy natek hamshicha miyasdinim. Okay, and after the Rosh Hashanah l'shtamish l'spusuka. Whereas he's saying, over there it's talking about you're using sheets that are not made for sukkah, so you can just tie them together. But here, these things are made to put in, the loops are made in to put into the thing. So it's not just time you tied it. The loops go into the, you know, right? You have, it's made to go into the metal frame. So I don't know if that's, you say that's considered like the case of a Shulchan Aruch, where it's not made for anything. So then, it will untie. But this is made in a way that obviously it's not going to untie. Yeah. So this is what? This is, well, it's not fully made, because this is only made from your top. But the canvas sukkah has the metal pole on the bottom too. Right. It was both, and then that's not part of the same case. cases where you have to tie it, and therefore where Choshesh, when you tie, he's going to untie. But this has nothing to do with tying. It goes through the, not tying the sukkah. How does it work on the bottom? It goes through, what? Today. Today has Velcro. Oh, the Velcro is where on the floor. So what's holding it down at the bottom?
Velcro.
Is that a new thing, the Velcro? The uses?
No.
What did they use 20, 30 years ago? What was the string? From the bottom. Well, what? Okay. What does that mean? You know about the love of the Velcro thing?
No. The part of the cash is Velcro.
Oh, so...
I don't want to attach the Velcro, and the part
of the Velcro. Ah, and then then you Velcro it to the...
Yes,
the stuff. So should the din of the Shulchan Aruch be applicable to that?
Yes.
Or no? Maybe it'll be undone with Velcro. Is that, you think, is that plausible to say, or that's you see in the Sefer Sukkah Sholem on the bottom of page 22, he says we don't tie it down. We make a suv misdinim to cover b'yichadim. So you call him a kachor hated. Will you not take a mashiach misdinim? Okay, that should the Rashi Mishtamish Lasukha. It's not, so could you say that the Velcro, Dilma Menachi, the Velcro?
The Velcro itself not going to come undone. Even if it does, there's still like a whole sukkah length of them. It's not going to affect the whole can of wool.
It's still probably about on a day.
So you think it is a problem?
Lava
that they that what that the Velcro got attached.
Okay. Just a little bit, maybe.
Oh, a little bit, but
that's
not the one. See, he says over here. This book was written way before they were, before they were using Velcro on the sukkahs, probably. He says, "Keis asuyim asdinim nekavim miuchadim." There was loops, there was holes in the bottom, and you put it through the pole. So the pole was, so there's no chashash that it's gonna, but you weren't tying anything on. Maybe today you could say you're Velcroing it on, so maybe. Maybe, but I can see that. I mean, Velcro is more efficient than tying. I'm going to check the point to that. Even if you want to say that it's Omer Baruch Mitzuyu, you have this other problem of. Dilmanaki Vlava Zate. Okay, yeah.
Why did the Pas say that you should not make two perpendicular panels from behemoths?
No, he said it was a behemoth. We're afraid it's going to unravel and the behemoth will run away. So yes, so why do why are we afraid of that?
By the
Sadinim, we're afraid. So why are we afraid over here? So he says, by the Sadinim, you're using all four walls for that. So that's a much more high percentage something's going to roll. By the Behema, you're only allowed to use a Behema for one wall. So it's much less of a chance. That it's going to get unraveled and escape. Because there's only one Behema. Okay. Ezra Shem, tomorrow we'll continue with this packet. And we'll have milk in a couple of minutes.